Amen. I don't know. Yeah, it was good. But you got a six from the East German judge. That's not even a relevant joke anymore. I don't know how long ago it's been. My gosh. First met. My phone's still on? When we first met Pastor Glenn and Belinda, well, went to hear Chris D'Amico. He was prophesied over. There was over 200 people in that room. He prophesied to every single person in it, but me and Ginger. Didn't say a word to us, not one. And so, you know, we're sitting on the second row. Well, you surely. I didn't know I was sitting behind the pastor of the church, which was Pastor Glenn at the time. And then after service over, Glenn Rogers turned around and he prophesied everything that was going to happen for the next 5 years of my life, and every bit of it came to pass. And he introduced me to Paul, who was a youth pastor at that time. And since Pastor Glenn has kind of moved over and doing some different things, he's traveling some, and even though he's still involved with the church, that Paul is now the senior pastor there. And doing a wonderful job. And if I want to just give you a brief history, and not to take up any of his time because it's important, but Mansfield, Louisiana, has been declining in population for the last 25 years, or maybe even more. It was a thriving community at one time. Now there's nobody there. But the whole time, the church continued to grow. So who in the world are you going to get and say, well, the pastor's going to step down and start doing some other things? Who are you going to get that's going to keep that pace? I mean, we're talking about, 40% unemployment probably? It's bad. It's bad. Mansfield's in bad shape. It's just going, but the church is still rising. And you could not pay anybody enough money to go and take Paul Floyd's job. I don't care how much pastoral experience they have. That's a losing situation. Think about it. Church, the city's still declining, but the church has still got to go. You know, it's an amazing thing to see what they're doing. And now they started a new ministry. They started a new ministry in Stonewall, and it's just blown up too. You know, so what I'm telling you is, if you want to know something about personal growth or good leadership or how to get things done in situations that are just impossible, this is the guy that you need to talk to right here. No matter how impossible your situation is, I promise you, he's got the answer, or he can get it to you. Amen? So, stand up. Pastor Paul Floyd.
Hey, y'all stay standing for just a second. Let's pray for just a second. Yeah, I caught you. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your presence that's here. Father, I thank you for what you're doing all over the world. Thank you for the church. Thank you for this church. Thank you, Father, for just blessing this community, these families. Thank you for tonight, that we're better for having been here together tonight. That, Lord, when we leave, I just thank you that there's an impartation, a deposit by the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, that'll change us and shape us and make us better. And we thank you. Lord, I thank you for freedom tonight. We're part of your ministry is to bind up the brokenhearted. And think of that every person here tonight, Lord, that may be brokenhearted or have wounds, that they're healed tonight just by being in your presence. And I thank you for, Father, those that have chaos in their mind and confusion, I declare that they have peace in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Those that are hungry for answers, Lord, I may not have them, but you do. And I think that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll reveal direction, you'll give them answers, you'll speak to them. The eyes of their understanding will be enlightened tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. And Father, I thank you for a new season. And I declare that over this church and over this community. Lord, I just thank you right now that, Lord, that you are paving a path for them, stepping into new seasons of ministry and people and growth, missions. Lord, I just thank you that every stream, Lord, is just going to continue to increase and grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Well, that was very kind introduction, made me question whether or not I wanted to pastor there anymore. I'm just kidding. No. What Pastor Paul said was absolutely true. It's been a phenomenal dream to see all that God's done, and actually had the opportunity to serve Pastor Glenn for 20 years before we took the senior role there, my wife and I, and still just are amazed at all that God's doing in the communities and all of that. And so I'm just honored that Pastor Glenn gave us his baby and just handed over the reins of an amazing group of people and church family. It is absolutely amazing. And so they send their love tonight. My wife is actually preaching at our midweek tonight in Stonewall. And so believing that they're going to see some amazing things tonight. I want to say thank you to Pastor Paul and Miss Ginger. We've been friends and acquaintances and connected for a long time through all kinds of relationships. Philip and Laura Baker and Rob and Ginger Carmen, and of course Pastor Glenn and Miss Belinda and different people. And you guys have been so steady. And from me standing back and watching what God's done from the outside, not even knowing all the turmoil I know that has probably been there, but to see you guys just continue to be steady, find the pocket of grace that you're supposed to be in and see God bless it, it's inspiring. And I just appreciate you guys not giving up. And I know there was probably plenty of times to throw in the towel, but you didn't. And just that one time. And I know that you guys probably echo that same sentiment, you know, just to be able to be here and have leadership like this and other pastors and leaders and people. You guys are just doing phenomenal. And I was telling the guys on the way here, just you don't wait for the perfect condition to do anything. You just hear God and you do it, and then God works it out. And I think it's amazing. And you guys are kicking the devil's teeth in, serving people. People's lives are being changed. And so it is an honor to be here. It really is. I wanted to introduce a couple of guys to you also that I brought with me. And I was just actually grateful that they came along. Pastor Randy Gudo is a dear friend of mine. We've known each other for over 20 years. We actually did youth ministry together. He was in Magnolia. I was with Pastor Glenn and Miss Belinda. He is a revivalist. He is a warrior, and he instigates and provokes me to be better. And he has helped push me into deeper prayer life, our church family. He is with us at LWC and inspiring us and helping us. And so I'm just grateful that he came. But I would encourage you guys to go. He's got some podcasts, Randy in Real Life, and then he's also getting ready to launch a prayer, not really just a prayer, a service. It's just a coffee at a coffee shop, Retro 521 in Bossier, and it's the sole purpose is to reach the lost. And they're actually doing that on August 17th. And so I'm just kind of plugging that because I just believe that God's getting ready to do something amazing. And it's not a church. It's not religious at all. It's just going to be raw, authentic, preach Jesus. And we believe that people are going to get saved. Amen. Also brought another friend, but also one of our staff members, Wren, with us, Wren Gilliard. Wren and his wife are our student pastors. And I don't know if any of y'all have ever heard of J17 or followed any of that, but they oversee J17 in Stonewall. Phenomenal job that they're doing there. And then he also serves as our children's pastor. So they're really our next generation pastors. And but they actually are moving into more some executive pastor roles and doing some things with us. And so just grateful that those guys came. And be sure and kiss them tonight. They love kisses. I don't know what it is. Just kiss them tonight, and they'll feel at home. Especially Randy. He good, just the beard wet when he leaves with kisses. And so let's get into the word. I have something that I want to share tonight. It's in Joshua chapter 3. And wanted to just, we're going to read a chunk of scripture here for a second. I'm going to read out of the ESV. I know you guys are going to be reading in the New King James Version. It'll be pretty close. But then I wanted to just share a couple thoughts. This word in my heart is really fresh off the press for me. I've been in ministry for 23 years, and so you can do new messages and be inspired to preach some new things, but usually it's kind of a combination of some new things but some things that you've preached over the years, or maybe God will bring some things back up. But this is literally one of those messages that just the other night I had a chance to minister at J17 and had something else totally prepared to minister. And then it was one of those, you guys have been there in the middle of worship. It was like God just downloaded three thoughts out of this passage of scripture. I had to go read it like in the middle of worship and figure out, okay, God. And then since then, though, God's just been, it's been like in an incubator, and it's just been brewing. And so I knew right away that this is what I was supposed to minister tonight. I love when that happens, because sometimes I don't know, and that's really difficult. But I knew that this is what I was supposed to speak tonight. And I believe it's a prophetic word. I believe it's a prophetic word that can be generational, but I think it can be also for church, for ministry, for moving forward. I think it can be individual to help us move from one season to the next. That there is something God's doing, I think, in this season of time that we're in, both corporately but individually, that's moving us into some new seasons. And I think it's really important that we recognize that and that we hear it and that we're on board. Because if you're not careful, you can be lulled to sleep by the culture, even by the religious culture that we live in, because things seem the same as they always have been. But I don't think they are. I think God's shifting some things spiritually, and I just want to be right in the middle of it and be available, because I want to go where God wants us to go. So there's this story, very familiar story, and it's going to be really simple. And I'm not a very complicated or deep person, but I just believe it's for you guys. So in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from," and I'm not going to say that word because that's just not a good word. And it says they set out from that place, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. In the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "Listen, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it." And then it says, "In order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." I just believe God's doing new things. And I know in church sometimes we can think it's the same. It's the same music. It's the same chairs. It's the same building. And if we're not careful, we think it's the same. But I'm telling you, God's taken us to places that we've never been before. And it's important that as believers, if you're a believer, if you're serving God, that you recognize that God wants you a part of this company of people that'll go somewhere that you've never been before. I believe that this church needs to go somewhere they've never been before. I believe that your family needs to go somewhere that you've never been before. And I think that there's some great content here that helps us understand what we need to do to make sure that we do. And then it says this, "Then Joshua said to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" Another translation, I don't know if it says it, but that God will do amazing things among you. That's what I want to see. I want to see God do amazing things. "And Joshua said to the priests, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass on before the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and they went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink or the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Joshua said to the people of Israel, 'Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, "Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without a doubt or without fail drive out from before the from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, all the Ites he's going to drive out." In verse 11, "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." One of the things that I love about this, I'm probably going to get ahead of myself because there's just so much on the inside of me about this, but that's okay. We'll figure it out. But I love this because he's commanding Joshua and he's telling Joshua what's going to happen. I don't know if you remember the story about the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. So right now they're at the Jordan, but there was another body of water that they crossed underneath Moses' leadership, but he didn't give them the same instructions. As a matter of fact, he only spoke to Moses, and he told Moses to lift up his staff, and when he lifted up his staff, the waters parted. It's almost like people were looking at him to do something before they walked across. But in this story, there's something different, and I think it's prophetic about who the church is today, that we don't need to be looking at a man, and he doesn't even want us to wait till the waters part. He's looking for somebody who will be a carrier of the presence of God, who's willing to step in the water. And if we'll step in the water and trust him, then the waters will part. But see, we live in a culture, especially a Christian culture, where we're always looking for somebody else to do it. We're looking for the pastor, or we're looking for leadership, or maybe we're young people and we're looking for somebody, you know, more qualified or older or more experienced, or maybe I haven't been serving God that long, or whatever the case may be. We're always looking for somebody else. We're looking for the person with the staff. But it's amazing how Joshua's leadership was different than Moses, and I think that's on purpose. I think God was distinguishing between those two leadership styles, and instead of waiting on one man to do something, he said, "No, you're going to do this together." And I think it's important that as a church that we realize that God wants us to do some things together. I think that speaks to the empowerment of the body of Christ, that if we will step in together, God will do something amazing. But if we stop and we don't get into the water and we're waiting on the waters to part, or waiting on this person or that person or this great evangelist or that personality or that talking head or that great podcast or that great YouTube video, we're waiting on somebody to say something before we move, then we're missing the point. God's looking for somebody who will hear the voices of the God, who will be I don't know if you know this, but as a believer, you carry the presence. See, in that story, they were carrying the ark, which represented the presence, but now, fast forward to this dispensation of grace, you are carriers of the presence of God. That means that when you step in the water, the waters will move. That when you go where God wants you to go and you follow the presence of God and are a carrier of the presence of God, something's going to change. And I think that's where God's trying to move us as a church, is where we quit putting personalities on pedestals and we begin to believe that God could do something great in me. And I'm not dishonoring the people that have served, and where it's not about dishonoring people and pastors, and everybody has a function, but I think we've watered down the function of everybody, and we've put on a pedestal the function of a great communicator or somebody that's, you know, seems to be taking the lead, and God may be using them to do some great things, but God never designed for them to do it alone. He designed for us to do it together and to step in the... He's looking for somebody that'll step in the water. If I could hashtag it, I would just say hashtag step in the water. Somebody step in the water. Somebody be the remnant. God's always had a remnant. God's always had a group of people set aside. When the culture was going one way, there was a remnant of people that would go the other. When culture was going downstream, there was always a remnant of people that would go upstream. You know, dead things can go downstream, but only things that are alive can go upstream. And God is looking for somebody who will recognize some things, and we're going to talk about those thoughts. See, I'm already way ahead of myself, but it's okay because I believe God is speaking to you. Where did I leave off at? The soles of their feet, the priests bearing the ark of the Lord, they're going to step in the water. He's going to keep it from flowing. Basically, he's going to part it. Verse 14, so when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the water, which was now at flood stage, the waters began to part. Verse 17, now the priests bearing the ark of the covenant, this is so important, don't lose me, this last verse is the cornerstone of this. It is the cap of this. You got to hear this because we're going to come back to this. Verse 17, now the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. We'll come back to that in just a second. So just a couple of thoughts that I want to share with you that were just brewing in me. Maybe they don't mean anything to you. It makes me feel better to preach it because it means something to me. It really does. Like, I feel like God is stirring me and speaking to me and speaking to our church. And I don't think it's just LWC. I think it's the church at Minden. I think it's everywhere that God is looking to do something. He's just looking for somebody who will do a few things. The first thing that I noticed that he said in verse 3 is he said, when the ark passes by, follow it. I don't think that you can go where God wants you to go until you're willing to follow His presence. And can I tell you that not everybody follows the presence of God? Can I just tell you that just because there's a cross on the building doesn't mean that they're following the presence of God? That just because you have a Christian t-shirt on doesn't mean you're following the presence of God? Just because you love worship and you do, doesn't mean, just because I'm a believer doesn't mean I'm following Him. You know, I can become a believer and become comfortable and complacent, and the presence of God can pass me by and I'll miss my moment to step in the water. I can be a young person and put the responsibility on a Moses in my life instead of realizing I'm a part of a Joshua generation, and I can miss my moment because I'll think somebody else's responsibility is to follow the presence and not mine. But God, if schools are going to change and if communities are going to change, then we've got to realize that when the presence of God moves, when God speaks, I love when Joshua said, hey, come here and hear the voice of the God. It wasn't just a download to Joshua and then him. It was like, hey, come and hear what God has to say. Yeah. Got to follow the presence of God. Yeah. As a father, I want to follow the presence. As a dad, I want to follow the presence. As a pastor, I want to follow the presence of God. I want to be attentive and hear that. But here's the thing is you can't follow the presence if you don't know how to recognize it. You can't follow the presence if you're more focused on worldly things and carnal things. And listen, this isn't a holiness message. I think we should all be holy, but it is a message to just wake us up and realize that if I'm not going to take this serious and I'm going to be passive and apathetic about my walk with God, then there's a good chance that He's going to come by. I'll be like the Pharisee or the Sadducee when God Himself, Jesus Himself, showed up in the flesh and I didn't even recognize who He was. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they missed their moment. And I don't want to be a church or a man or a pastor or a father or just a brother in Christ that misses the moment of God moving because I'm too caught up in religion to recognize the reality. Sorry if this is a little hard. I'm just stirred up. I think God's doing something different. And actually, there's been moves like this. There's been things that have happened in the past, but if you go back and you look at every revival and every move of God and every great moment in history, it's because there was a remnant that would follow the presence, not just follow tradition. I love talking to Pastor Paul, and he's making shifts and always tweaking and changing, and it's not because of gimmicks. It's I want to follow the presence of God. I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to do what God wants me to do. It's not about being perfect and polished. It's about being obedient and following His presence. So we have to follow His presence. One of the reasons why we have to follow His presence is because we've never been that way before. Never. If I don't know which way to go, I'm going to need somebody to show me. And the only person that can show me the way is Him. And I need to follow His presence. Number two, Another instruction that came forth in this passage was Joshua said that you need to consecrate yourself. And really what that means, that's a big word for prepare. It's really a real big word that just simply says that when you recognize God's doing something, then I need to do some inventory and make sure I'm prepared for what God's doing. That it's not, again, it's not about being perfect, and it's not about not having any, you know, things I'm working through. But the reality is that I've got to quit making excuses and just be apathetic and flippant about my walk with the Lord. That if I want to do something for God, then God expects me as a believer to prepare myself for that. That when I show up to the party, that I'm prepared. Have you ever been somewhere or done something and been unprepared? Have you ever shown up to take a test and didn't have a pencil? Have you ever been hanging out with somebody who's notorious for being unprepared, like the famous "I forgot my wallet at home" person? I see y'all looking at people, not right. There's something about being prepared that I think gets God's attention. And I think sometimes we wait, we want to get prepared after we see God move, but this was before they ever stepped in the water. See, we want to get prepared when the waters part, but God says, I want you to be prepared for when the waters part. I want you to be prepared. Church, I want you to be ready for when the waters part, not wait. If I wait, then I'm behind. I'm going to miss it. So I've got to prepare. I love Romans 12, real popular verse. Verse 1 says that he wants me to present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. So it's not just consecration is not an Old Testament term. It's really a New Testament principle as well. That even as a New Testament believer, I am supposed to strive and pursue this walk to where I recognize this life I live, Paul said, it's for Christ. It is Christ. That this body I live in, I want it to glorify him. That when I make decisions about career and make decisions about family and make decisions about my future spouse and I make decisions about all these things that I'm doing in life, it would do me well to consecrate, prepare myself to make decisions based on God's presence in my life and not just how I feel. The opposite of consecration is living how I feel and not by how God wants me to live. So consecration is about being able to push back carnality and find some spirituality in my life. Romans 8:6 says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what I want. Number 3, and this is the part that I feel like is where it started for me, and that is somebody's got to step in the water. Somebody's got to make a move and step into the water. Somebody's got to, you know what? Somebody's got to give. Somebody's got to pray. Somebody's got to serve. Somebody's got to do some children's ministry. Somebody's got to do some missions. Somebody's got to do a food bank. Somebody's got to take some risks. Somebody has got to hear the Lord. They've got to watch the presence of God. We got to begin to prepare for this. See, preparation is so important because it prepares me for the season. If I don't prepare and then I just try to do it too quick, then I can actually violate the timing and the seasons of God. Notice that they didn't run ahead of the ark. They went behind the ark. I remember one time I was had a youth pastor at the time. His name was Kale McMillan. It's still a really good friend of mine. And so we were, has anybody ever been Black Friday shopping before? Anybody at all? Anybody ever done it once and like never again? All the same ones. You just like, I'm done. Why do that now when you can do it on Thursday and Wednesday before online? Can I get an amen? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. So, but here's the deal. Back then you couldn't. And I remember there was a store called Circuit City on Uri Drive in Shreveport. Remember that? Circuit City. And I remember they had this advertisement about computers. They were selling laptops for like $200. And so me and Kel, we were in the office like, man, I want to go get a laptop. This is going to be awesome. And so we were going to go brave the Black Friday crowd. And I was like, well, what time we need to go? He said, we need to be up there like 2:00 in the morning. I was like, I'm not going at 2:00 in the morning. How about we go at 4:00? He's like, all right, but the line's going to be long. I didn't believe him, but when we got there, man, it was like, I don't know if you know this strip center, but there's Circuit City, which is massive, and then there's Lowe's all the way on this other side, and the line was from the front door of Circuit City to the contractor desk at Lowe's. And it was freezing outside. And so we got out, and we're in line, and we're about halfway in that line, just shivering, waiting. Waiting for the doors to open. You know, they got those automatic doors and everybody's just waiting. Well, then I found out that there were people sitting in their car in the heat waiting closer to time, and they were going to come and gather around the door. I got mad. I did. You know, I was almost cussing. I'm shivering. You know what I mean? And I almost said shit 'em. You know, the word there that I almost... I didn't. I'm so sorry. That's a city in the Bible. That's all I'm saying. I was thinking about that when I was shivering. And so I was sitting there. We were shivering. And these people came up to the doorway. Well, then all of us in line were like, I ain't waiting in line. And so we all started gathering around the door. Well, there's still like 15 minutes till the doors were going to open. And I remember we were sitting there. Well, all of a sudden, the people start going in. And I'm looking at the watch. I'm like, dude, they opened early. This is awesome. So we rushed into Circuit City. There's boxes flying everywhere. Kel and I are throwing elbows. And, man, we're doing everything we can to get to these laptops. Long story short, we get there. Laptops are gone. All right. But then we look up, and there are police rushing into Circuit City. Because... people put so much pressure on the door, they breached it, and they went in too early, and nobody got anything because they were too early, and they kicked everybody out, and they shut down the store, and they didn't reopen again for Black Friday. Everybody had to put all their stuff back. And you know what? I was watching the news that night. You know who was on TV? Me and Kale. Walking in, I remember the little girl holding the camera right there, and I didn't know she was with the news. I probably wouldn't have looked at her, but she was right there, and I remember they kept re-showing the same little 15-second clip, and it's me and Kel walking into Circuit City, and it's like, you know, doors breached, police have to show up, and, you know, so it wasn't a good look. But you know what? I learned something then about seasons and timings, that if you don't follow the presence of God, and you're not prepared, and you try to go ahead of God, you know what's going to happen is you may get into your season, but you're going to get kicked out because it's not time for you to be there. But here's the good news, is that when it is his time and it is the season, then it may not even seem like it in the natural, but if you'll follow the presence of God and you'll prepare yourself and you'll step in the water, God will move. And people will think, man, that's amazing. And you'll be like, you know what? It's God. It's the only way that it can happen is God. Amen? And then I love this part right here. Remember I told you that last passage is this. And that is this, is that God instructed people to stand in the middle. Listen, he instructed people to stand in the middle so that others could pass by. You know what's so awesome about you stepping in the water? It's not about you just getting to the other side. It's about all of the other people in your generation that need to pass by you and get to their promise. See, when it becomes bigger than me, then I've got the right heart. It's not about jumping in and sprinting across on dry land. It's about being a carrier of the presence of God as a church, as an individual. That even though I step in and God makes a way for me, don't just keep your eyes on the bank or the other side. Turn around and look who's coming behind you. And be willing to stand still. He told them, when you step in and it parts, I need you to stand in the middle so that everybody else can pass by. See, the remnant, sometimes when we're part of the remnant and the faithful and we're, you know, we think that God's just going to bless us. But I got news for you is that God's preserved a remnant, not just for the remnant, but for everybody else to get a benefit out of their obedience. Because God cares about everybody. And there are generations of lost people who don't even know They don't know the presence of God. They don't know anything about this. But if somebody will just step up and lead and be a remnant of believers that'll pray, that'll worship, that'll press, and then see the presence of God, and they'll do extraordinary things. They'll sow those seeds, and they'll do some prayer meetings that, you know what, is not about posting it on social media and not trying to get attention because, hey, look at us up here praying. You know how y'all are. You know, whenever you're doing something great for the Lord, I say, y'all, we are. You know, this culture, every time we have a prayer meeting, we want to post it. You know, every time we do something great, we want to post it because we want acknowledgement for it. But God's looking for somebody who will just be inconspicuous. Somebody who will just be anonymous. He's just looking for a remnant of people who will not care about what everybody else thinks about how awesome they are. And they'll just press into a secret place and they'll follow the presence of God. They'll step in the water and then they'll stand. And out of the mercy of God flowing through them will help generations of people pass. That's what I love about the furnace is the furnace is a step in the water. You know what? Anybody could have done it, but not everybody did. Somebody said, you know what? I see the presence of God. I think I'm going to step in the water. And when I do, I believe that others are going to come and they don't even know what they're stepping in. But they're going to have dry ground to walk on. They're going to get to their promise. Here's the other thing that God told them is he said, when I part the waters, it's a sign to you that I'll also drive out your enemy. Don't be surprised that when you step in the water and you cross over to whatever it is God's calling you to, don't be surprised when somebody else is occupying what belongs to you. Let me ask you this. Right now, is fear occupying something that belongs to you? Is poverty occupying something that belongs to you? Is doubt occupying something that belongs to you? Is confusion occupying? Is depression occupying? Is there sickness in your body that's occupying something that belongs to you, a good quality of life? See, there's something about these seasons that I think are so important, and that is it's not just about the passing over, but it's also about the promise that God said, I'll drive all those enemies. I believe that when we're willing to step in the water, that freedom comes, healing comes, joy comes. The promises of God begin to be manifested in such a rich way. So my question to us, to myself, my question is who will step in? Who will step in? Who will follow? Who will go all in? Who will dare to put the soles of their feet in the edge of the water and not wait for it to move? Who's going to be at the front line? Who's going to be at the beginning of it? Who's going to have dreams in their heart that, I mean, there could be women's homes here. There could be dream centers. There could be missions. There could be, I mean, there's things going on. And I'm not saying all this to conjure up something on the inside of you. I'm just saying in the body of Christ, there are some dreams and there are some things that are dormant on the inside of us. And we fail to step in the water and those things never come to pass. And I believe that God is speaking loud and clear. I love this church because you're a step in the water kind of church. You're not waiting for the waters to part. Anybody can do that. Let's step in and see if God will just part the waters. Carry that culture into you. Listen, you're getting ready to go back to school. Somebody's got to step in the water. Somebody's got to get down in it. For the sake of everybody else at that school. Somebody's got to abandon popularity and safety and take a risk. Somebody's got to be willing to get wet and step in the water so that all of those other people that we think don't want God, don't love God, are not going to turn to God, they see some dry ground on the way to something better, I promise you they will pass along with you. I want you to close your eyes for just a second. I want to just pray over you. But I want to ask you to respond. I feel like this is kind of a part of this, and I feel feel like God wants to maybe just solidify. Some of you guys, it's been confirmation to you. I could see it. It's like I could see it spiritually. I could just see it was confirmation. Like there's God's been speaking to some of you about some things and you've been wrestling with it. And just that word just confirms. And it's not because of me. I'm telling you, it's the Holy Spirit saying that's it's beating on the inside of you. Some of you are just longing to be used by God and step in the water. You want to be that remnant. You may not even know what it looks like. That's okay. But do you want to be a part of that front line? That the group of believers that'll just take a risk. Do something different. Do something unconventional. What I want to ask you to do tonight is this space up here between the stage and the chair is an altar. I know there's altars all over the place. You can make an altar in your chair and in your car. And tonight, we're dedicating this spot up here as an altar. And the word, in the Old Testament, there's a principle or there's a promise that I believe is also a New Testament principle. And he said, if you'll build an altar and bring my people there, I'll meet them there. We can't do this without him. And I'm going to actually ask you to just be bold tonight. And if you say, hey, I want, Lord, just in front of God himself, you just want to say, I want to be one of those that steps in the water. I'm just responding to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. That's me. I want to step in the water. I want to be one of those. And Lord, I need your help. I need some direction. I'm hungry for that. I just think we just need to respond. And so I'm going to just pray over you. Right where you're at, but I'm going to ask you to join me at the altar and say, that's me. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the body of Christ. I thank you, Father, for the presence of God. I thank you, Lord, for what you're speaking to us. And Father, I thank you for some bold followers of Jesus that'll step in the water. I thank you that we're risk takers, not risky in your eyes, but I know in the natural it seems like risk, but Lord, to us it's not because we trust you. Father, I thank you right now for those that are here tonight who maybe are far from you and maybe even right now are just hearing the Holy Spirit draw them closer back into the family of God, back into the grace and mercy of God. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. I thank you for what you're doing in Minden and the surrounding areas and in this church. And Lord, I just thank you for an outpouring of your Spirit on our lives tonight. Your word promises in Isaiah 44 that, Lord, that you would pour water on the thirsty and floods on the dry ground. So, Lord, I just thank you for those floods tonight. I thank you for that presence tonight. Lord, this may seem like just a first Wednesday, but Lord, I believe it's not an ordinary Wednesday. I believe it's a mark in the timeline of our life that we choose to step in the water. And so, Lord, tonight is a part of that preparation. Tonight's a part of that responding to the presence of God. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's you and you say, man, I want to step in the water, will you join me up here tonight?